where you also just kind of getting ready.
Yeah, no, we're just starting now, so
okay, good. So I don't want to interrupt you with something. Yeah.
Okay. So anyone got a question?
Yes, I actually have something specific. I was during the weekend with some friends who are also in with all these new things. It was really good. And Vivian was also with me. And these are people who are also praying for us for a longer time already. And one of the ladies, she couldn't come but because she was sick, but she received kind of an impression that she was taken into the heavenlies, and then she stopped in front of the room, and there was a white dragon before that. But this was the information she gave me, but she didn't get any further, and she got also the impression that kind of Vivian is closed in a room. Yeah, what do I do with it now?
Okay.
Have I then also the authority, because I have no experiences with dragons or stuff like that yet. I know they are existing, but I have never had any encounters. Is it now a thing she had to pursue, or can I kind of be in agreement? Or how do I deal with stuff like that?
She saw this in association with you and where you were living, or
no, especially with Vivian, because they kind of pray for Vivian's situation, which is kind of lots of confusion and still going on. There are better days, but kind of.
Well,
yeah.
If basically dragons are spiritual entities that seek to hinder and block and rob us of our position of authority, and I've come across a white dragon several times recently.
Oh yeah.
And the white dragon indicates that it's seeking to deceive, so it's trying to make out that it's a good thing, mm-hmm. when actually it's not. So it's operating in deception, and trying to deceive people into thinking and accepting the belief system or what's behind it to stop them and rob them. And recently I've come across that several times. Once I was flying over a country and I saw it in the atmosphere when I was in the plane. So how to deal with it? Essentially, you need to know your authority. So when it comes to dealing with a dragon, you need to use the sword of the spirit. If it's associated with a particular mountain or throne, or in this situation around your family life, then you need to occupy that throne in the heavens of your family, and you deal with it there.
Okay.
And to deal with it there, you need to have maybe some scriptures that relate to your authority within your family. You need the truth, so you can use the truth to bring it down to size, because quite often these things operate by intimidation and fear, and so that they present themselves as being undefeatable, or they try and frighten you and intimidate you to back off, and so, well, I don't know how to deal with this, and I can't deal with it. But you take some of the promises of God, some of the truth of the Word of God, particularly associated with family and your authority in the family, covenantal family rights, and you use them as a weapon. And the key to defeating it is basically that you have to take its head off. And so in the spirit realm, you use that sword and those truths to remove its authority, because the head always represents a symbol of authority. And so removing its head means you're removing its authority over your life. So you are establishing your authority to see that defeated, broken, to see that situation change that's hindering it. Dragons have tails, and in my experience, I've seen them use their tail to try and whip you and to knock you off your feet in the spiritually. so that they try and undermine your confidence, and they may well, a thing may come to your mind about a situation in the family, situation about your family, which they use to try and undermine your confidence. So how can you defeat me when you have this situation going on? Yeah. How can you defeat me? So they use their tail as a whip to knock our feet away. We must stand firm. So we can stand firm, just as it says, you know, Ephesians 6, you know, stand firm. Having done everything, stand firm. Don't be swayed, and make sure that you have the truth that you can use. And once you've removed its head and established your authority, then often you just basically split open its belly and you see what it's robbed you of and what it's robbed the family member of. And you may see symbolically things that come out of there. There could be scrolls, and lots of different things. Okay?
Yes. And I actually can do that, although this lady had this expression. I can go and take my authority for Vivian, because it's kind of, she had got it specifically for Vivian. And can I do that on her behalf, because she wouldn't be able at the moment? I can do that.
Yeah, because basically she is under the age of responsibility and she is in your family. And so you need to operate in authority in your family situation. Go to your family throne on the mountain in your own sphere of influence and outwork that. But yes, you can do that.
Yeah. And in connection to the expression, she saw also this door closed. So this would, if there has been a dealing with a dragon, then the door might open. Would this be kind of
connected? Yeah, because what it's trying to do is to hinder and to block her coming into freedom and coming into her destiny and to fulfill the purpose of God for her life. Yes. And so that closed door is symbolic of what it's doing. It's trying to lock her in, trying to enclose her, trying to restrict her, hold her back, and it's using false religious mindsets, lies to undermine her and do that.
Yeah, this sounds very helpful. So, this is it. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, if you mute yourself now, then you'll stop all the background noise.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will do it.
Have you got a question, Wildtrout?
Yeah. Okay, one question is, again, about the sound of God. we do hear that not with our physical ears, but with our spirit, right? So I have a twofold question. How can we prepare or tune in our spirit to hear that? And the second question is, can we hear that only in worship settings or also when we're alone with the Lord?
Okay. Well, God has a frequency, a vibration, if you like, and a sound. So you could think of it like his thoughts are waves of electromagnetic energy which are emanating from him in the heavens. And in a quantum physics way, waves exist until they're observed and then they become particles. So those waves are coming out from him all the time, but they're looking for observation or connection or resonance, and when we become close to that those waves and we begin to observe them, they then form and we can connect with those thoughts in our own life. So it's like potential energy gets turned into matter when we observe it. And so we have to get close enough to God to be able to hear his thoughts and to hear his voice. And the same thing, his voice, you know, it's when someone speaks, just creates a sound wave that goes through the atmosphere. So when God speaks, it's like a wave that comes out of him and comes out of the heavens into the atmosphere around us, and we need to engage it. And once we begin to learn how to engage it, then that can direct us, it can guide us, it can empower us. It can transform us because God spoke everything into being. You know, He created everything when He spoke it into being. And so it's important that we learn to tune into it. And, you know, like any situation, if the radio waves that are in your airwaves around you, if you turn on the receiver of the radio tuner, then you can produce the sound. And we just need to tune our senses into it. And that would be our spiritual senses and our soul senses. And so, again, it encompasses all the different senses. Because it may be emanating from God, you know, as a wave of light, which we see a vision. So we tune our imagination in to receive those visions from God. We tune our imagination in to be able to hear the thoughts of God. And it all happens in our head. You know? And I think this is one of the key things I'm finding in talking to people. There is this thing where people are thinking, well, I'm just imagining this. It's just, surely it's just in my head. Everything we hear, see, feel, everything is in our head. Because, you know, if you see physical things, light is reflected from an object. Those light waves come into our eyes, you know, through the pupil. They come the lens and they get focused on our retina as an upside down image. And then our retina has cones and rods and various things in it to translate those light waves and turn them into electrical signals, which go up through the optic nerve to the brain. And the brain translates those signals into an image. And so you see in your brain. You don't see in your eyes. The actual light comes into your eyes, but the actual picture or the image is inside your brain. But the body is such a fantastic thing. It's all designed to operate and to produce that image so that it's seamless. We just see it. We don't have to think about the optic nerve. We don't have to think about the signals. Same thing applies to our hearing. When we hear, there are waves of sound that come through the air, creating a wave of pressure that our eardrum picks up as a change in pressure, and then that's passed through little bones, and then the auditory nerve picks up those signals, puts them into the brain again, and the brain translates them in sound. So in reality, you're not actually hearing in your ears, you're hearing inside your brain. And so this is the same thing with a flow of things that come from God, information that comes from our spirit. Now, whether that comes to us as impressions, so we just get these feelings and impressions of knowing something. So when we sort of, you know, we say, well, I heard God speak to me, we didn't actually hear a pressure in the air in our physical ears, but our body can pick up and sense the vibrations of those energy waves, if you like, that are coming out from God's thoughts or His voice, and we can determine those things and interpret them. And it's like our whole body is designed to be a receiver or an amplifier of electromagnetic frequency, sound frequencies, light frequencies, so that we amplify those things and then pass those signals to our brain and interpret them. And so the eyes of our heart, our imagination, we learn to see the pictures that God projects there. We learn to pick up visions that are coming from God, and therefore we can be seeing and feeling and having impressions of things so that we can tune into what God is saying to us. And you can develop those things by practice. You know, Hebrews 5:14, if we train our senses through practice. And so if you want to have your imagination sharp and active, then practice seeing things on your imagination. So use the Word of God as a doorway to that. Picture a verse. Picture Jesus sat at, you know, with His disciples. Picture Jesus on top of the mountain praying. Picture Jesus as your shepherd in a green pasture by a quiet river. Just activate your imagination by using the Word of God to open the door, and you can do that. The more you practice seeing, And you can do it in natural things. If we're talking about things like doorways, actually look at some doorways, walk in and out of them, stand in the threshold of the doorway, and so you have a natural experience. I know Ian Clayton talks a lot about getting things in the natural. So he went into a river and he sort of stood in the river and let the river flow around him. You know, I think he stood in his bathroom when he'd had the steam on and it felt like a glory cloud. So there were natural experiences which just mirror something in the supernatural realm. And so we can practice training our senses to pick those things up quicker and easier by doing things, looking in the natural realm, then picturing those things. So when we're talking about opening the gateways of our spirit, soul, body, if we're thinking of a gateway, it helps us to enter into the experience. And then everything then can start to engage with that. When I first started to do this around the Word of God, you know, I would sort of think about some scriptures, maybe Jesus talking with disciples, and I'd be thinking about it, because everything starts with thinking. You think, you fix your eyes on it in your thoughts, and then you activate your imagination around those thoughts. So I was thinking about Jesus sat with his disciples talking, and so I closed my eyes, and then I began to picture that, and I began to picture me there sat in that circle talking. And I was just listening. And then it became, rather than just my imagination, the experience became somewhat more engaging in that Jesus looked at me, and I thought, he can actually see me, which is sort of a strange feeling. And then I got included in the conversation. But it started with me thinking about it, then activating my imagination. And that does not necessarily mean it has to be very, very visual. You can just sense and let your spirit communicate what it would be like to sat with close to Jesus, what it would be like to listen to him, and then begin to get a flow of the thoughts or his words. You know, it all comes really as thoughts. They're not actual words that we're hearing with our ears, so they're thoughts of his words that are appearing in our brain in that same place that communicates and understands it. So it's practicing that, developing it, and then developing our spirit senses as well, not just our soul senses with our imagination, but our spirit has eyes as well, and we then begin to open our spirit eyes so that we can begin to engage. So for that to take place, we need our spirit to grow bigger than our soul and body. So we need it to be edified, to be built up. So we need to train it through, again, praying in tongues or worship or meditation. Just build it up. And it, you know, it's like that picture I've shared before of a balloon. To start with, blowing up a balloon is really difficult, and you have to overcome the sort of stretchiness of the rubber material until you put enough air and effort into it to stretch it so it begins to grow. And for some people, like little children, they can't blow balloons because they've not got enough strength in their lungs to blow the balloon up. But when you get older, you get a greater lung capacity so that you can blow that balloon, and the balloon becomes bigger than it was when it started, because it was probably 2 inches, and then it can become even a foot of size. And so initially it takes quite a bit of effort to get your spirit functioning and moving and growing, because it's been probably not exercised that much. So then as the more exercise we do, the bigger our spirit gets, and then we can see our spirit going through our soul gates, our body gates, and creating that zone or atmosphere around us that our spirit can engage with the realms of the kingdom that are around us, and it can engage with what's going on. And so then we look to our spirit to communicate to us what's happening. What can my spirit sense? You know, am I sensing something cold? Sometimes physically we can get shivered. We get a shiver when we engage something which seems quite dark, because where are we getting that from? Well, we're picking it up in the atmosphere, and our body is reacting to it, and we're interpreting it as fear or danger or a spiritual dynamic going on. And sometimes, you know, you walk into a room and say people have been arguing and stuff, you can like feel the atmosphere, you know. And there's a phrase where people says you could cut the atmosphere with a knife, so it almost feels tangible. Well, what's picking that up? The same senses that can communicate to us. Now, all that stuff generally happens without us having to think about it. But if we do think about it, we can focus those things, and we can direct those things, and that's where, you know, God spoke to me about sonar and being able to send our spiritual ping out, if you like, to see what is here, what's going on in the angelic realm, what's going on in the realm around people's lives. And sometimes we can engage in the realm of the spirit and we get words of knowledge or words of wisdom, and we get those different gifts of discerning of spirit, distinguishing of spirits. Those all operate in the Holy Spirit realm, but then we can look into the angelic realm and see what's going on there. And it all starts with practicing with the small things of just discerning and feeling and learning to sense the presence of God. You know, when you come into a worship meeting and, you know, you come into it, say, after it started, sometimes you can walk in and you can just feel the presence of God. Well, what are you feeling? It may be a sense of peace. It may be a sense of sort of electricity or anticipation. I don't know, but you're feeling something. Now, you don't think about that. You just felt it, and people say, oh, that was a strong presence of God, or they felt a weight of his presence, those things. Well, you're just learning to take those signals that you pick up anyway and learn to focus them so that you can choose to pick up what's there. You can choose to discern, okay, what's going on in the spiritual realm here? It may be around a person. It might be in the atmosphere. It may be around your own life. And so sometimes those things are heightened in worship, times of corporate worship, because things are multiplied when we come together. But we can do that in our own life. It isn't just restricted to those things, because it's our spirit, and we can engage with the spiritual realm around us. So engage with the spiritual realm. You know, I would encourage anyone who moved to a new house to go into each room and to send out a ping there and say, okay, what's here in this room? What memories are stored in the fabric of the room? Because everything gets stored. All the sounds, all the light that hit those walls, there is a record and a memory of those things stored within the quantum particles of those things. And so again, you can go into a house sometimes and you feel, whoa, this feels really dark. Or you can go to a place and it feels really peaceful. And you're just picking up atmosphere. And hence, you know, you get places where there are these wells of revival in the atmosphere or in the ground of a place, which there's a record of what's gone on there before. And you can tune into that record and you can see there's power here. There's a sense of things happened here in a godly way. There was miracles or things in the past, which we can then look to engage with in the future. Same thing on negative things. Sometimes where occult practices go on, where there's trauma went on in rooms or situations, you can feel it's a dark place. People say, well, I felt that was a dark place. And so you're picking up the atmosphere of what is going on and what's around you. You just have to learn to direct it and focus it so that you choose to do it rather than it just being an involuntary thing. And so that's training our senses. And the more practice we do, the easier it becomes. You know, then you can look and see the angels. Now, in a sense, again, I'm using the word see, but I'm not necessarily meaning vision. I'm really meaning sensing and perceiving. For me, you know, I do get very visual things, particularly in something new when I go into the realms of heaven. Most of what I do is my spirit describing to me as a flow of knowing, if you like, where I am, what I'm doing, and I can describe it to others quite visually, but I'm not seeing it as a vision. But it doesn't matter. It's a flow of the same information, whether it comes as interpreted as a vision on the screen of my imagination, or whether it comes as an impression or an intuition, or just that knowing in my knower that my spirit just shows me and I know where I am. So when I step into the realms of heaven, I don't often step into this amazing technicolor vision. I step into a place where I've been, whether it be a courtroom or on a mountain or a throne or in a record room or go into one of the different courts, and I step in by faith, but my spirit is engaging there. Even though it's not like my whole body has gone there, my spirit is there, and my spirit is communicating to me because I'm in those dual realms. I'm in two places at once because my spirit is a spiritual entity and it's able to engage in the realm of the spirit. So I can be connected to that spiritual realm through my spirit my soul, my body, so that I can receive the revelation that comes from there and I communicate. Now, people are different, I think, and some people do have seeing a very visual thing. But at the end of the day, the main thing is we need to understand what it is that we're engaged in, what is the revelation. So to be honest, if I see God and he's speaking to me in the vision, but I can't hear what he's saying, I've either got a lip read, or I'd rather hear. You know, I'd rather know what it is he's saying to me rather than trying to interpret just a symbolic vision. Now, you can get both. Sometimes, you know, you get both. Jesus is there and he's talking to you and you hear what he's saying. And that's the best of both worlds. You actually see and you hear, you sense, you feel, and it all works together so that we know where we are and what we're doing, and we can operate in that just when we need to. But it does take some time to develop. And so I would encourage people to start with the basics of training our senses to open our imagination in the natural realms, thinking about things, seeing things, feeling things there, and then just look to increase that. Start in the garden of our own hearts and in our spirit when we open the first love gate and we start to engage. You know, what do we sense? Do we sense peace? Do we sense joy? Do we sense just that electricity of his presence? Do we feel warmth on the inside? All those things we need to just learn to pick up. Same thing when we engage in the river of life. We're just learning, what does it feel like? Is there an energizing I feel? You know, am I receiving something that's flowing from God to me in that river? Because it's a river of life. And the more we practice, the more we do it, the easier it becomes. But sometimes we have to overcome some obstacles and some mindsets and some religious ideas that block it. Because, you know, we've been told, you know, that's just you're making it up and your things. And for most people, the visual vision things seem to have a higher priority and value than the feelings and the impressions and the sensings. But to me, I think they're all of equal value. And it's at the end of the day, I need to know, what is God saying to me? What is God showing me? What is God revealing to me so I can be obedient, he says. Jesus saw what the Father was doing, and that word saw can be visual, but it can also mean perceive, and therefore he was obedient and did what the Father wanted him to do. And that's the point of this, is, you know, visions and these things are not just an end in themselves for fun, although they are fun at times. They're actually so we can discern what the will of God is, our destiny, and then outwork it and fulfill it. And so practice all the time, it would be my encouragement, into developing those senses to pick up the flow that's coming out of God all the time. You know, the mind of God is releasing his thoughts, his impressions, his feelings to us all the time. We just need to pick them up and begin to tune into them and understand. But it all gets tuned in within your head. You know, that's where it all gets interpreted. And so wherever it comes, even if we feel something in our physical touch, that nerves takes the signals back to our brain and instantaneously translates that into that's cold, that's hot. It's the brain which interprets it, not the ends of our fingers. There's no capacity within our fingers to interpret anything. It just passes the signals through the nerves that are in our fingertips when we touch something. That's hard, that's soft, that's hot, that's cold. That gets translated to our brain, and we know that's hot. Now, it happens pretty much instantaneously, because it doesn't take long for electrical signals to go from our fingertips to our brain so that we feel hot. Hence, we can pull our hand away when it's hot and when it's really cold. But it's the same type of thing. We just learn to discern those things. You know, and our body does become more attuned. You know, when I'm in a place of worship, sometimes on my own, my body just begins to like sink in peace, just feels totally relaxed and peaceful. When I'm in worship time, sometimes I begin to shake because there's an electricity of the power of God and the presence of God there, which begins, my physical body begins to react to that, and I shake or I vibrate because I'm coming into that alignment and agreement with what God's doing. But it's a fun process to work through and go for. So my encouragement would be just keep practicing, keep engaging, don't get disappointed. Disappointment is a big issue. When you don't think, oh, well, I can't do this, and I tried, and it didn't work out the way I thought, and particularly, obviously, you know, when you guys are within the group that we meet on Monday nights, you know, some people have been doing this for quite a long time, and it's easy to get disappointed. Oh, they seem to be seeing mountains and this and those things, and I'm not, I can't do it. But just keep practicing. Don't get disappointed by that. It took them quite a while to get to that point. It took me a long time to get to that point. I believe that God will enable us to do that when we pursue it. If it's the desire of our heart to engage in intimacy and relationship, that desire will get fulfilled and pursued. So, yeah, go for it. Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks a lot. Okay. I have one practical question. If you are with someone, let's say you get your hair cut or whatever, and this person starts to talk really negatively about somebody else. Physically, I can't remove myself. I would like to. What do you do in cases like that without offending the other person?
You have to be willing to be honest. We often find it very difficult to confront those sorts of situations, so we just almost like come under it. I think if someone is speaking negatively, I think you just have to say, look, I'm really sorry, but I don't really want to hear that. You know, please just talk about something positive. And just be honest and real. Because if we sit there, then we listen to it, and that goes in, and then we have to deal with what we've heard, and then we either have to dismiss it or actually, oh, and sometimes that might hook into something in us, which then, they were a bit like that to me. And you can end up being drawn into it. The best thing to do is to confront it in the first place. And if someone's offended because you say, then that's their issue, not yours. You need to protect yourself. I think, to be honest, Christians are too nice when it comes to those type of things. We have to be honest and real. Speak the truth in love. If your motive is because you're angry and aggressive, then that's not good. But if your motive is, look, this is offending me, and my conscience is being touched here, then I think you just have to say and be honest about it. And usually the person will just stop because that confrontation is done in love, you know. And a lot of the times when we hear people speaking negatively, if we don't tell them, then we're not helping them to grow and to change. And if we frame the world around us by our words, and if those words are negative, then we're framing something negative around our life. And if someone's doing that and they don't realize, then who's going to tell them unless we do, if we hear it? And so I'm quite sensitive to negative things, and I don't like it. And so quite often when someone's being negative about themselves, I'll say, you know, I just spent a couple of days away playing golf and sports with a friend of mine, and on the golf course, you know, I was actually playing quite well, and he was not playing so well, and he was really negative about himself, and he was very vocal, and I thought about it for a while, and I thought, well, if I stop him, he might get better, so I thought, actually, but I need to talk to him, so I did. So I said to him, look, you're just really negative in what you're saying, and you're prophesying bad shots. So be positive. Either say nothing or be positive. You know, actually encourage yourself. Stir yourself up. So, yeah, I can do this. I can be better the next shot. And, you know, having a positive attitude creates a positive atmosphere that draws the angels around us and draws blessings around us. Negative attitude draws negative things. And so demonic things and familiar spirits are drawn to negative speech and negative attitudes and atmospheres. So it's our responsibility to create a positive atmosphere around our life by what we say, what we think. See, if the thoughts of God is like a electromagnetic wave, then our thoughts are the same. The thoughts that are in our mind, and those don't go so far from our body, but they can be detected sort of 12 inches away. But the thinking of our heart is the key, and that goes up to a couple of meters away, but those things emanate from us. And so we need to be careful what we're emanating. We need to be positive and getting the truth to come out of us, not the negative stuff. And obviously it's a process and it takes some time to check our speech and ask somebody, you know, say, look, if you hear me speaking negatively, please don't be afraid of telling me. Give people permission to speak into our lives and to help us. Because sometimes we just don't know, and we aren't aware of necessarily what we're thinking and how our attitude is and our body language and the different things, because we can't necessarily see it. But we can ask other people to help us. And then when we get more discerning, we tend to pick up, okay, yeah, I'm feeling uncomfortable here. I'm feeling awkward, or actually I'm sensing something. And so, you know, for me, it's like, you know, I know when God is starting to challenge an area of my life, when he's starting to put his finger on something that he wants to deal with, you know, I know the feelings that come with that. You know, and sometimes I start to feel grumpy. And I start to feel, because something's going on. Now I've learned to tune into those things and go back to God really quickly, say, okay, something's going on in my soul, which is stirring emotions or feelings. What are they? You know, and then, you know, I can go to the courts and find out if there are accusations about me. If I'm feeling heavy or I'm feeling a weight of something, am I carrying something I shouldn't be? Or actually is something seeking to push down on me? Again, I can go and find out, okay, are there accusations? Are there words, negative words being spoken? Are there curses that have been trying to put on me that I'm resisting and therefore there's a battle going on? We've got to become more sensitive to how we're feeling and picking up the things in our soul and our physical body and our spirit, so that we're in wholeness, begin to function as Jesus did and do the things that he did in this realm. And then in the realm of heaven, we can begin to manifest the kingdom of God there and to fulfill our destiny to rule as sons. But we need to be aware of all these things, because they will help us in this process of transformation, and they'll help us to understand us and then understand other people as well, and how to help other people, because the testimony that we carry is like a vibrating frequency that other people can engage in. So our testimony becomes a wave, if you like, a potential that when someone receives that testimony and says, I'm going to apply that to my own life, it becomes sort of matter, that energy gets applied to them. And things can get changed. So that's really how it works for me on that.
Very good. Just to start now.
Yep. You're muted, Regina.
I repeat my question.
Okay.
So, what is your experience with the oils and all the process? Because, I mean, some are very strong into the usage of oil, and I believe it all because it's the frequency and the changes of the frequencies. Do you have any personal experience with oil or people around you?
I didn't quite catch that. Can you sort of...
Okay.
Yes.
What is your experience with the oils?
Oil.
With oils, yeah. Have you personally experiences of people close to you? Because some seem to be very strongly into it. Some kind of not so much. I really honor it very highly, but I don't have too much experience. I do here and then use oil, but also in the situation, for example, with Vivian, there are certain oils which could help her. So I would like to hear your part about it.
Right, okay. Well, when it comes to oils, I think there's different things. There's, in the Bible, oil is symbolic, obviously, of the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so it's... there, the anointing or the anointing oil is very much in the Bible. They anointed kings with oil. And so that's a sort of a symbolic nature of it. There are essential oils that I think carry
a frequency. Yes, I mean, yeah.
And I think there are people who have got revelation of that. Personally, I have had experiences of oils appearing on my hand supernaturally, that when I've laid hands on people, that's brought healing or brought inner healing and peace to them. I have a couple of bottles of oil. One is a kingly anointing oil, which is the same mixture that they had in the Old Testament, which I use for anointing people for as symbolic of their call, their destiny. I've also got another bottle, which is an oil of joy, which sometimes I use in terms of just releasing that as I anoint people. I mean, I've learned to appreciate much more these sort of symbolic things, and that they have more than just a symbolic meaning, that they can actually have a powerful effect as you apply them, the sort of prophetic acts and doing things prophetically. You know, in the past, I was really not really into much of that. But then God started to ask me to do certain things, and I struggled with it. But I needed to learn how to be obedient, and so I use swords and I use other things that He's shown me to use. Which, when you engage with it, it creates something which is more than just. If I said, "Well, I'm going to give you a sword," and you need to imagine this sword. When you give them a real sword, something just cements something more firmly into people's lives. When it comes to these sort of essential oils, I know Joanne McFatter and others, I think there's some on Ian Clayton's website that you can connect up with people with essential oils. They contain a fragrancy or a frequency of something that brings us back into wholeness and harmony. Yeah. And I think I personally haven't had a lot of experience with it. I know of it, but I couldn't say that I'm an expert in it. So I would encourage you to maybe look at your website and just look at what some of these other guys are saying, because there are frequencies of sound also that can bring us healing, because they begin to resonate our body back into alignment. And where one organ maybe has disease or sickness, it can be out of frequency, and therefore we need to bring it back into a harmony and a frequency that it should have. And I think some of these fragrances and oils help in that process and are part of that process, as well as certain sound frequencies. When you apply certain musical frequencies, they can bring peace. I mean, like, for instance, in the Bible, when King Saul was troubled by a demonic presence, David played an instrument, and the music brought him a sense of peace. And so there must have been something about what he was playing that was able to stop the demonic influence oppressing him at that point in time. So there are, you know, biblical sort of patterns of that, and I think God is just opening the door for more and more revelation of that right now. And for me, I have to be careful that I don't sort of try and chase after all the revelations, because I just haven't got the time. No, I just tend to point people to those who God is raising up, who are experts in it, who know an awful lot more about than I do. You know, I think God wants me to have a sort of general knowledge of lots of things so I can help people, but there are specific things which those people know an awful lot more. And I would just encourage you to look at maybe some of those websites, get some information from them, because I know that God is using those things today. So don't be afraid of it. Yeah. Find out what it is. Okay.
No, I did that already, and I felt really for Vivian to do some of the oils, and so I just wanted to hear what your heart is. So I did ask some people already who have more experiences, and so this helps me and encourages me so to move there forward, because for me it's also it's kind of all new, and as you said, you're limited. I love to. I mean, it's amazing. Yesterday I had a book looked into kind of different oils, and it's amazing what God has really given us. And
okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I can probably take one more question before I've got to go.
Oops, you want to go ahead, Jungina?
No, just go. I just had one.
Okay. you are taking the breaking of bread as often as you can, Mike, right? If you are together with people eating, they don't even realize you do that. Do you speak this whole prayer then every single time inside that you do also with your church, or do you just speak a short prayer inside?
Silently. Yeah, I mean, it just depends really on where I am and what I'm doing. Sometimes I will just take the bread and the juice or the whatever I'm eating or drinking in a symbolic sense. And, you know, I'm just applying the DNA of God, the life of God. I'm receiving that life. And it may be, you know, I tend to just go with what I sense. So if I'm sensing that I need to do a particular part of that prayer and maybe even do something completely different as I'm led by the Spirit, I just feel free. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, because I've sort of practiced it a lot, then I can use a particular few lines of that, maybe resequencing some DNA, or just applying the DNA of God to transform me into the image of God in a particular way. And so I very rarely would I say the whole thing if I'm sat eating with somebody else. If I was on my own, I might do. It's just really, I just go with what I'm sensing at the time. The main thing is to do it in faith and to receive the body and blood of Jesus, the victory and the power of the cross, but also it actually is vibrating with that frequency of God. It is vibrating with the energy of the life of God. It contains, in the blood of Jesus, the body of Jesus, it contains real life. And so the more we take it and receive it, the more that can vibrate and we can come into alignment with it. It can change the cells of our body. It can change our DNA, particularly in the areas where there may be triggers or negative things that are being ready for triggers hereditarily. We need to get those resequenced so that we're not going to have any negative things operating. My encouragement would be, yeah, just to do it in faith regularly. Just ask God, is there an area you want to work on at the moment? If it's a bloodline area, you know, or a seed line area, or maybe a genetic thing within our makeup, it may just be, hey, I want to be transformed to be more like Jesus in the way I think or feel. Therefore, I'm just going to take this body and blood of Jesus so that that can be outworked. Just don't get it into a religious ritual. You know, sometimes we can take things which are begin in life, and they become something that we do, then we do them superstitiously because, oh, if we don't do them, oh, maybe something won't be good today. Make sure it's living and alive and active. And when we do it, we can do it in faith, and we can just allow that to happen. The more we do it like that, we are just giving God permission to change our life, to transform our life, to touch us in fresh and new ways. And so it's just something that we just continue doing. And the more we do it, the more God will work in us and transform us and change us. Okay?
Thanks a lot. Yep.
Okay, no problem. Right, well.
Thank you very much.